Hello everyone, welcome to Film with CJ. My name is CJ. My pronouns are they, them. And today I want to talk about the film that is If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power. I just want to preface this by saying I'm going to be talking about this movie from beginning to end. There will be spoilers. Please do not listen to this if you cannot handle listening to spoilers. I need you to either not care that I'm talking about spoilers or come to me after you've already seen the movie, because I'm not going to be dealing with no one in the fucking comments like, bitch, why are you spoiling? I'm giving a review of the fucking movie after I've seen it, so it should be implied that there are going to be some spoilers, but if it's not implied, there are spoilers. To give you all some context about what this film actually is, it's basically like accompanying visuals to Halsey's new album titled If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power. But not really like, I mean, I guess it is a film, but it's a short film. It's only 50 minutes. It's very easy to digest. It's on HBO Max. You can watch it in one go. Like, it is not a like movie that you really have to set yourself up to invest in. Beyonce has done some shit like this many times with Lemonade and what's that one that she did for Lion King? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Obviously Halsey and Beyonce are not the same vibe, but you get the idea. So the movie starts out with a rural kind of English setting kingdom. Who knows where the fuck it is, but y'all, I'm sure, have seen movies of similar settings, so you can picture in your mind, like, green meadows, trees, nobody lives there except the people in the castle, as it always turns out. But the king is dead, the church bells are tolling, the people are distraught, and it shows Halsey, who plays a character called Queen Lila, coming into a room in the castle where her husband is laying, like, fucking kaput on the floor, like, eyes open, like, this man is dead. And there are the king's council, or the kingdom's council, being like, what the fuck happened? And Queen Lila is just standing there, like, just staring at him, like, not really that upset as you would expect someone who loves their husband and is married to their husband would be. We pan to the funeral. She's in a black gown with like a black veil. She looks exquisite, but she's not crying. She's not remotely emotional at all. And the camera kind of turns to her mother-in-law, who's glaring at her kind of like, bitch, why aren't you crying? Why aren't you showing any emotion? Like, did you not love him? And she kind of rolls up her sleeve and she has this huge bruise on her wrist, as if to say, like, yeah, this man abused me. Like, I really don't care that he died. And so she's kind of, like, smiling, like, yeah, bitch, gotcha. Like, good riddance. After the king dies, she is living her best life. Like, she's constantly naked. She's constantly naked around other naked women. She's swimming naked with other women. And Halsey is not that bad to look at. Like, she's a beautiful woman. So I'm sitting there like, you go, girl. Like, do your thing. She is out on the town. She's like getting drunk, whatever. She's wandering around one night in the forest and comes upon this like abandoned shack made out of sticks. And she just like walks in, like, without a care in the world, as one does. And there's this like random blind woman in there, like, kind of sneaks up on her, I guess. And the blind woman is like trying to feel who this person is, like, with her hands. And she's like rubbing all over the queen, like, may I say, quite sensually, and gets to her kind of stomach area. And very clearly, like, senses that she's pregnant. And they start making some, like, weird sounds together. Like, you know how when pregnant people give birth. I usually do like breathing exercises. Like all of a sudden they just start doing that. Very weird. I don't know. Then the queen gets freaked out and she leaves. She runs back to the kingdom, to her little room, and just kind of stands there in shock and for herself realizes that, yeah, she's pregnant. And so the movie kind of just follows like her journey, like mentally preparing to give birth, and she's not really ready to handle it because obviously the child is as a result of her having sex with a man who abused her. And so she's upset, as one would be. The kingdom's council calls the queen in for a hearing, and they say, "You're acting fucking wild. Your behavior is bringing shame onto the kingdom. This is not how a queen should behave. We're gonna strip you of your power." And she goes, "No, you're not, because I'm pregnant with the heir to the throne, so y'all are not gonna fucking touch me." And they're like, "Actually, we don't really care that you're pregnant with the heir to the throne. If the child is a boy, we will take care of the child as the heir. But either way, after you give birth, we're going to chop your head off. Like, we're going to decapitate your ass after you give birth." So then much of the remainder of the movie is her, you know, having her journey through the last trimester of her pregnancy and also getting closer and closer to death day by day. When the time comes for her to give birth, she runs away because she's freaking terrified and doesn't want to die. Understandably, she runs to that abandoned shack of sticks again to give birth. Somehow, when the queen arrives, the blind woman knows exactly what is going on and helps her give birth. The kingdom finds the queen in the shack. They light that shit ablaze while both of them are still in there. They drag the queen out on the dirt after she's just given birth. She looks, you know, as one does after giving birth, like bloody, sweaty, dirty, like, you know, like not well. They drag her on the ground, hoist her up on a horse, take her baby away from her, and take her back to the kingdom to get decapitated. Like, they were literally like, "Bitch, the second you give birth, your ass is dead." So they take her back to the kingdom. She has a flashback of her and the king together. The king's still alive. He is, you know, very drunk, trying to force her to have sex with him. And she slips, you know, something in his drink. Before he commits a heinous crime, he falls on the floor and dies. So we can assume that the queen has poisoned him and she was the reason why he died in the first place. So then flash, you know, forward, as she's about to die, as she's about to get decapitated by the kingdom's council, she's imagining like what her life would be like in the future if she was allowed to have this baby in peace and grow with this baby and the baby, you know, matures and everything. And she is, you know, gearing up for her final seconds on the earth. And they put her head in a guillotine and just cut her head off. I'm not even kidding you. Like, that is how the movie ends. They just, like, cut her head off. No joke. So that's a general synopsis, play-by-play, of what happened in the movie. Now, I am of the mind of, like, girl, if you are queen of a kingdom and you got a child on the way, don't you got an army, like a full army at your disposal? Like, why are you not fighting back in any sort of way? Like, essentially you rolled over on your back and were like, ah, fine. Like, decapitate me. Damn it. So that's frustrating, because I'm like, are you a queen or not, girl? Like, what kind of queen are you? I'm asking for a friend. But anyways, I thought the cinematography was actually so beautiful. I think they did a job well done of telling the story. There was not a time where I was so confused to the point where I was lost in the story, which is good. I think the story overall was, like, relatively simple. I don't think that there was anything, you know, super deep about the story, super complex about the story. Hair and makeup were bomb. I loved how they kind of paid homage to at least hair of the time period, you know, like very big, very up, very regal hairstyles for women in that time period. But also, there was just so much color in the hair. Like, they put some, like, colorful ass wigs on Halsey and did them up so her hair was, like, 4 feet high. I loved it. And, like, her makeup was very, like, colorful and dark, and they had a lot of range. I don't know. There's something about Halsey's face where I feel like you can do a lot of different looks on her face. I don't know what it is about her face, but she, like, her facial features are just, I don't know if it's, like, a lot of eyelid space or what, but I feel like every time there's different makeup on her, like, she has potential to look really different, and I liked how they played with that in the movie. I also appreciated the very not so subtle symbolism in the movie. Like, throughout the movie, there is kind of a red figure of her that keeps following her, like red makeup, red clothing, red or red wig that keeps, like, following her in mirrors and stuff. And it first shows up when the king dies and she sees him, like, on the floor in front of everyone. And I really liked how, you know, I'm interpreting it as, like, when she killed the king, that kind of set a timer for her own death as well. And the red version of herself is, like, her death getting closer and closer to her until she ultimately dies. And when she dies, after getting her head cut off in a guillotine, she comes back into the scene as the red version of herself, although no one can see her. The viewer can see, like, herself coming back into the scene, but as the red version. And so I appreciate that. I don't like when filmmakers do this whole, like, fucking mystical symbolism thing, because it's like, if no one can get it, if you're, like, if no one can understand the message that you're trying to make visually, like, what's the fucking point? Like, I don't like this, like, elitist, like, oh, only a few will understand if you're, like, fucking smart enough. Like, no, like, just, like, make it accessible to everyone. Like, because that's the, in to me, all art should be accessible. Like, that's the point. That's the point of it all. So I appreciated that in the film. And to me, this is Halsey's best album, period. Like, I'll be honest, like, I was not a big fan of Halsey ever, really. I think she has a very uniquely odd voice, and I don't think pop suited her at all. So when she released this album as, like, an alternative rock, alternative indie album, I was so pleasantly surprised. And I know she's come out since and said that this was the album that she's always wanted to make, which makes me wonder, like, if her manager or her record label kind of pushed her into this pop mold, which really is really sad and kind of fucking sucks. But I'm so happy that, like, she was able to make an album like this, because I think it suits her better than pop ever has. And the music was good. Like, I don't think there's any skips on that album. And I'm glad that she was able to just go a step further and make, you know, a 50-minute visual for it with an actual story. Not that the film is a direct corollary to the lyrics of the album, but it was just nice to like have something to watch with the music on in the background to be able to enjoy. All in all, I think it was, you know, well done. It was well executed. I will say that Halsey cannot do a British accent or a UK accent. I don't know what the fuck that was when she did speak. Like, she didn't have a lot of lines in this movie, but she did have a few. And then when she tried to speak in an English accent, I was like, this is not believable. But appreciate the effort. But overall, I it was well done. So if you're into like some light viewing, and I don't know, if you're into Halsey, like, I would just watch it. It's kind of cool to see what she's done. So I would give it like a 7 out of 10. Nothing really surprised me, but it was a good watch. That's all for now, everyone. Thank you for listening to Film with CJ. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Film with CJ. I appreciate ya, and I'll talk to you next time.